Welcome to the Insulite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour with Robin Nielsen, our Chief Wellness Officer. It's our meeting place to connect, motivate, and learn, where we empower women with PCOS to transform their lives through these powerful interviews with some of the world's leading experts on PCOS.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Inspiration Hour. This is Robin Nielsen. It's great to be here with you. I have a really special guest today who I'll introduce to you in just a moment. Right now, I want to tell you about how you can enter to win a one-month membership to our Inner Circle, VIP Inner Circle, for our five-element PCOS system. So every month, we give away a one-month membership, and it's super special, and it's just an Inspiration Hour. We announce the winner at the end of the program, and the way that you can enter to win is really to just if you're on our webpage, there's a Q&A live chat box. And every time you chat something in there, in fact, Angie, can you just say hello to everyone on there and they can see? And hello, Angie. Welcome. So Angie just posted hello in there. So every time you post in there a comment or a question, you're entered to win. And you can also post a question on our Facebook page, but it may be hard for us to find. So we really encourage you to post a question here or a comment. And then, thanks, Rebecca. Yay, hi, Rebecca. And then you can also, if you're on the phone only, and you're not on your computer, so you cannot see the screen, then you can press star 2, and that will raise your hand, and then I'll call on you, and you can just ask a question over the phone, and that will enter you to win as well. And so then at the end, we will have a drawing and pick the winner. And you're responsible for paying for shipping. And I think it's $9.95, unless you're out of the country, and then it's a little bit more. So so that will get you your one-month membership. So this time is for you. You know, Inspiration Hour is for you. This is kind of like your spa time. This is time that you take to help restore your body, mind, and spirit. It's your special time to get some of your questions answered. PCOS can seem so complicated, and the path to healing can be really confusing. And chances are many other women have the exact same question you do. So don't be afraid to ask your question, because not only will you be helping yourself, but you'll be helping others. And if you're watching or listening to the replay, you can still post a question, and we'll get it answered for you. Now I'd like to introduce my guest for today. You know, we choose a guest for Inspiration Hour from our VIP Inner Circle Empowered community. It's one of our members who really stand out, you know, who are showing up and making a difference. And my guest today is just one of those women. You know, she isn't afraid to share challenges. She accepts support from others. She supports others, and she's really making some powerful changes in her life. So please welcome Misty Robinson. Welcome, Misty.
Thank you, Robin. It's a pleasure and honor to be here.
Well, we are so grateful that you're here today, because, you know, sometimes we feel like we're all alone on this journey. Is that how you felt?
Yes, it definitely was. I definitely felt all alone, and I'm so grateful to have found a group specifically dedicated to PCOS and all that you go through. It has made a big difference just these last few months, just having that support.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, sometimes we don't know it until we actually, jump in. And, you know, there's only so much learning we can do, and then the real change happens when we actually do. We actually take charge and do something about it. So So you're going to share with us a little bit about that and your story. But first, we'd like just to hear about you, a little bit about yourself. So we can hear that in your voice that you're from the South somewhere. So you can tell us where you're from. And then about, so she has three, I don't know if I can call them children, but three beautiful puppies. You can tell us their names and just, yeah, a little bit about your personal life.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Texas, definitely the South. I was there my whole life until just about a year ago. My husband and I, my husband's name is Dustin, we moved to Colorado with our three Australian shepherds. Their names are Wise Solomon, Warrior Samson, and Zena, the Warrior Princess. We decided to move to the mountains because we just dreamed a little and said, if we could live anywhere, where would we like to live? So we landed on the mountains, and we're loving it. It's beautiful here in Colorado, and we're planning on building our dream home, I guess you would call it, in the mountains here soon. We recently purchased the land, so we're looking forward to that. I am a self-employed marketing and communications professional where I work for a worldwide Christian ministry most of the time. My husband is a self-employed general contractor, and he started a new business when we moved to Colorado here. And we are just building a life, and we're looking forward to adding children to our family. So that's a little bit about it.
So nice. Thanks so much for sharing. So you went from the flatlands to the mountains with your puppies.
That's right.
And it sounds like it's, yeah. And you know, we talked about how you felt it was so good for helping you to heal a little bit.
Yeah, and in Texas, I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, very busy, and I commuted to work and all of that. And here, I work from home, and it's not as busy, and it's just much slower, and so that allowed me time to focus a little bit more on my health, like preparing meals and lunches, and I'm not around all the people who eat all the bad things at work and are trying to get you to eat them too, so that's very helpful, and it's just been a little bit more peaceful.
Yeah, so nice to hear.
Yes.
So, gosh, and what are some favorite hobbies of yours?
Well, we like to explore around our new area. We like to hike. There's lots of places to hike. We like to spend time with our dogs and take our dogs out walking or hiking or to play. I'm kind of a girly girl. I like shopping and doing things like that, spending time with friends or talking on the phone, that kind of thing. I like reading books. So those are probably the highlights.
All that build oxytocin, our lovely connection hormone and bliss hormone, especially the shopping part, as long as you don't get too stressed out and don't spend too much money.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. Of course, talking to your girlfriends is so awesome. Oh, so nice.
Yeah,
really makes a big difference. All right, so tell us a little bit about some of the symptoms that you started noticing. So, how old were you when you first noticed some changes in your body, like that weren't working for you, like some of the symptoms, and what were they?
Well, as a young girl, teenager, I realized that I wasn't getting my period like everyone else. And when I was 15 years old, I think I had a little bit of spotting like one time, and I considered that the day I started my period, but there was never, ever a full cycle. In addition to that, I started to break out really badly on my face, severe acne. Mm-hmm. So those two things were happening about the same time.
So that was my first one.
Yeah, and did you have any weight issues at the time?
I was very, very skinny. My nickname was Stick. Okay. And I could eat whatever I wanted. And I guess that's probably not, I mean, that's probably true for a lot of kids, but I could eat whatever I wanted, no problem. I always ate, so I may not have eaten a lot, but I never tried to not eat, you know. I didn't exercise mm-hmm. or anything like that, but I was very skinny. I was about 5'9" and a half at about 130 pounds. So,
yeah. Okay. So one thing that we're finding now is that so many women with PCOS, especially if they're thin, do not think that they have insulin resistance or blood sugar concerns. And actually what we're finding is every woman with PCOS has some level of insulin resistance and blood sugar issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be found in our genetics. The genetic SNPs can be found for insulin resistance, higher levels of testosterone. So I just want you to know that if you're a woman out there who is thin, or even who isn't thin, and you don't think that you have insulin resistance, but you know, or you're fairly certain that you have PCOS, chances are that you do have insulin resistance. And that's really important for you to know, because you want to definitely address it. And if you don't feel like you have it, like with Misty, you know, because she was thin, she felt like she could eat anything. But what happens is that drives your insulin levels up, it drives your blood sugar up, and then your acne gets worse, your periods still don't come. You know, you never can achieve hormone balance unless you start paying attention to insulin. Right? So that's a really important factor. Okay, so then what did you do? Like, did you share this information with your parents that you weren't getting a cycle, or with your mom, or how did you start addressing some of these things?
Well, I didn't really have I didn't really feel comfortable to talk about I was never getting a cycle with my parents. I know that sounds horrible, but I did let my parents know, my mom know, that I had started my cycle with my little spotting, but I never talked more about that. I don't recall. But I did talk about my acne, because that was causing me a lot of embarrassment. And so I remember that my mom's doctor, you know, I gave me some things. I guess was my doctor, just a regular doctor, gave me some things to work on my face. Like, I think I got Retin-A at one point, and even dandruff shampoo. I don't know. It was all kinds of crazy stuff that I tried. But I decided to take matters into my own hands, and I got a job, and I spent my money on, I found an esthetician, a local esthetician. And so I went to her every week. It was like $50 a week to go to her. I was just like 16 years old, so all my money was going to this lady. But she really helped me. She would treat my face, and she would literally she would steam it and literally get the pus out. And I started to see results, but she said that I needed to address my hormone levels, because she asked me about my cycle. And so I told her that I didn't have a regular cycle, so she sent me to a doctor that she recommended. And the doctor wanted to put me on Accutane, which is a very aggressive drug for acne. And part of the condition was that you have to get on birth control as well. And one, to help with your periods, and two, because if you become pregnant while you're on Accutane, you can have deformed children. I wasn't sexually active at the time, but I did that. I got on birth. I wasn't really educated about birth control or anything like that. So I got on birth control and Accutane, and with the birth control, I had a regular period, and my acne cleared up very quickly, and I didn't have to be on it very long, thankfully. And so, after that little season, I think I stopped taking birth control after I stopped taking Accutane, but I never had the acne again. So.
Okay.
But, and then my periods would go back, you know, if I'm not on the pill, no period. So
are you still on birth control pills?
Oh, no.
No.
No. That was just then. That at that moment, I guess, whenever I got back on them, whenever I got married and didn't get off of them until we were trying to conceive. So I didn't know what was going to happen at that point. I had gained weight during that time. Whenever I got on the pill for a long length of time when I was married, I did gain weight very easily. That started whenever I started gaining weight. And when I got off, so I was probably on the pill for, let's see, at least 6 years, something like that. So I wasn't sure how my cycle was going to be at this point. You know, was I going to be regular if I got off the period or off the pill? So I got off the pill, and of course it never came. So tried to give it time, and so I went to the doctor probably 6 months to a year-ish after being off the pill. I think that's what they recommend. So I think I followed that guideline. And it was then when I was diagnosed in that month, whenever I was trying to figure out fertility, that's when I was diagnosed with PCOS.
Okay. So not until you were trying to get pregnant.
Yeah, and I was probably about 26, 27, somewhere mm-hmm. around there.
Okay. And so what did you try for fertility?
They put me on, they did Clomid first, I believe, to see if that would work, but something to induce my period, and then Clomid. That didn't work. I would never develop mature eggs. So then I did injections. So I don't know what the medicine is, but basically the injections to help boost your follicles to grow. And mm-hmm. so it was a big ordeal process. And I did that a few times, a few months, and I would over-respond. I would create, my follicles would grow, but there'd be too many of them. So if they gave me something to ovulate, then I would, there's a possibility that I could have multiple pregnancies. So, so that wasn't successful. And so the doctors recommended IVF next, and I didn't really want to do that. So, I went to another doctor. I had a friend that went to this other doctor, and he helped her conceive. So I went to him, and he put me on metformin. Mm-hmm. Clomid and metformin. And at the time, that combination, I was only on it like the first month, and that seemed to be working because I had my period and ovulated with those drugs.
Okay.
Because I did get a positive ovulation test, but I had a life situation happen with my marriage, and so we did not, I ended up getting divorced, so we did not actually conceive that month. So then after that, I was no longer seeking to get pregnant. I was trying to, my life had just been torn down after a divorce, and I was devastated. And so I had other issues to work on besides trying to get pregnant. So I remember at that time I lost a bunch of weight just because of the stress, and like I think your adrenal glands kick in or something. And I did get my period like almost pretty soon one time without any medicine.
But after that, not regular. So after I got divorced, I started seeing a natural doctor because after some research, and I didn't want to be on birth control anymore. After researching what it does, I didn't want to do that to myself. And I had some experience with some doctors, and I just wanted to look more into the natural route and to see if we could get to the root cause of, you know, what was going on with me, because previously they couldn't really tell me why I had PCOS. You know, they told me that they didn't know what caused it. And so I was looking to get to the root of the problem. So I went to a natural doctor, and she helped me with, she helped my thyroid. She checked my thyroid, and it was a little low, but I had previously been diagnosed with low thyroid up in there somewhere. And they told me I had to be on the thyroid medicine forever, and I didn't like that. Took it for a little while, and then I stopped taking it, and which I just don't like the thought of having to be on a medicine all my life, you know, at the time. That's what I was thinking. And so the natural doctor helped me with get my thyroid to where it needed to be through natural means, and she helped me cleanse my gallbladder, which had a lot of stones. I did a simple gallbladder cleanse with her. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that I had gallstones. I didn't have any pain. I don't really have, you know, I'm never anyone who has a lot of pain, but she would ask me if I would hurt in certain areas because she was saying I had gallstones, and I was like, I don't hurt. So I did the cleanse, and I wasn't expecting to have anything. But after I did the cleanse, it was just crazy the amount of stones that came out. It was amazing. I mean, hundreds, I would say. It was something. So after seeing her for a while, with her help, I began to get periods more frequently, but never, you know, every month. So maybe 5 or 6 periods a year, but I was still irregular. So she ended up moving away, and I went to her for a couple of years. She ended up moving away, and so I no longer got treatment from her. So that was, but I feel like I made progress with her in those things.
It sounds like you did. It sounds like you really covered a lot of ground. I mean, just the fact that you started getting some 5, you know, natural periods a year. You know, removed a lot of gallstones, which really helped your gallbladder work a lot better. And it's especially important for women because for some reason we tend to not metabolize our fats very well. We tend to be low in choline. And, you know, I've done some genetic testing on quite a few women, and a lot of us have the genetic SNP for choline and fat metabolism. And, you know, that's a huge problem, and that's exactly what our gallbladder does. It helps to hold and release the bile for fat metabolism. If we don't metabolize our fats, then we have hormone imbalance. So it's a really great thing that you supported your gallbladder in such a profound way, that you had an awareness around your thyroid, because many, many women, I think it's like 80% of women with PCOS have hypothyroidism, and it can be something pretty simple that throws us into that. And so many women have, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder of one sort or another, especially if you went through a divorce. That can be so, so stressful.
Yes.
And there's just so many things around that. And so whether you wanted to take the medication or not to support your thyroid, at least you had that awareness, you know, so you were beginning to make some correlations between what you were feeling and what you were noticing to some of the things that that were being diagnosed or noticed for you. And so so what were some of the big symptoms then that you were noticing at that time? So aside from, you know, when your natural doctor moved, what were some of the symptoms that you were still having besides an irregular menstrual cycle? Were there any other symptoms that you were noticing?
I think that was the main symptom. The only other symptom that I had really was a little bit of hair growth on my chin, like a few black hairs. You know, I started noticing those probably around that time. But not a whole lot. So I don't even know if that's, I don't know how abnormal that is. I mean, it's like I have like a few of them, but it's not anything excessive. So I think I started noticing that around that time. Other than that, my symptoms haven't been as severe as I've heard other people could be. So.
So your energy was pretty good. Your weight was in a good place.
I had lost a bunch of weight.
Pretty stable. Okay.
Yeah, my mood was pretty stable. I've always had kind of a stable mood and kind of a very optimistic. I've always been kind of optimistic and positive. Except during that time after the divorce, I was going through, I probably had situational depression for a little while, but that I accounted to the divorce. So, and that didn't last forever. So, but after a while, after a couple of years, my moods were high most of the time again. So,
yeah. Awesome. All right. So then what was next for you? So after this doctor moved, it sounds like you were still pretty motivated to get your cycle regulated.
Yeah, I continued with some of the supplements that she had me on, especially the one to support thyroid. I still take that today. Liquid iodine, I forget the name of it, I have to go look, but liquid iodine, I guess. I think that's the one. But the reason why I stayed on that, yes, I'll tell you another symptom. I had around my hairline, I was getting like a little rash or something, flaky red rash all around my hairline. And this supplement would help with that, the liquid iodine. So I've taken that the entire time. I still take that from time to time now. Every few days, maybe I'll have a little drop of that. But I eventually met my husband now and remarried. And I maintained my weight for a little while, but he's like a big guy. He likes to eat. And so, of course, when you're newly married, you eat, you kind of change your habits. You know, what I was doing single, a little different with him. And so I started to slowly gain some weight back. And so for the last 4 years, I've been on this weight roller coaster, I want to say, where, you know, I could gain weight very easily, like in a week if I go on vacation or something, like we move, like, and the routine changes, and I can just really pack on the pounds very quickly. And so, of course, I would over-exercise. I would go to the gym and say, I'm going to exercise, and I would just exercise and run miles. And that would like stop the weight gain, but it really didn't do much in the way of helping get the pounds off. And then what I would try to eat what I thought was less or fast, or not eat at all, you know, and that's not sustainable. So, and I've heard other ladies go through the same thing. And so, you know, just trying to lose weight and keep my weight under control by limiting food intake and over-exercising, basically. So that, and then, and also during this time, my period started slacking off again, probably because I wasn't seeing that natural doctor, because she would evaluate me at least every month and adjust supplements for me. And so that wasn't happening. So my period just started to slack off. And now the last couple year, you know, the last year or two, one a year, and maybe some spotting every now and then, but that's all I was getting. So I was telling you, Robin, earlier that I had come across your PCOS system probably a year or more ago online, and I took the PCOS quiz, and then I got on the email list, and so, but I didn't do anything with it until a few months ago. So a few months ago, I decided that I was going to try another thing, keep trying something until you find something that works is kind of what I was thinking. But I was going to try to clean eating, which I've tried something like that before, you know, but it's been a long time ago, and you think you're eating clean. But anyway, so I went on a specific program of clean eating. I came across your information again while I was in that program the first few weeks, and I decided to sign up for your program. And so I signed up, and I got my period, a full-on period, after 3 weeks of clean eating. And then I started taking the supplement, and I started dropping pounds. So I probably lost, I don't like to be on the scale, but I've probably lost 10 to 15 pounds since then, which is crazy. And it was mostly at the beginning, and of course it's slowed down a lot since then. But I dropped that weight that I was carrying around for a little while, and just by clean eating, and I was eating more, and I wasn't exercising really, except, you know, doing some walking and hiking, but I wasn't hitting the gym like I have been and running. So now I'm on week 9. This is week 9 of your program. And mm-hmm. So that first month I had a full period. The second month I spotted, and I didn't for a couple of days, and I didn't have a full period. And then this next month that I'm in now, I haven't had any of that, but I had like PMS symptoms, which I've never really had. I have never really, you know, had a major PMS symptom. So that's kind of where I am. I'm taking the supplements on week 9 of your program and continuing to adjust my diet according to your guidelines. This week we're focusing on eliminating gluten, and so I don't eat a lot of grains at the moment, but I eat some, so I'm on the process of getting that gluten out. So that's what I'm working on this week.
Wow, good for you. Boy, what all these amazing changes you've seen. And it's all through your investigation, but not only your research, you actually did it.
Right. And I also gave up caffeine this time, which I've never done before. That was something new I hadn't done. So I'm not drinking caffeine, so I've been off caffeine for about over 3 months now. So,
wow, and how was that for you? How was that transition?
Well, when I first went off, I was doing this clean eating too, and I will say that I was tired the first few weeks, but then I got your supplement, and as soon as I started taking your supplements, I felt, I don't know if it was just a combination of being off the caffeine for a little while and the supplements, but I started, my energy came back, and I haven't had, my energy has been really high, you know, really high since I've been on the supplements and doing this. And I don't feel like I need that caffeine boost. I like the fizzy things and like fizzy drinks. And so I try to drink some sparkling water to help with that, just what I like, you know, but the caffeine itself is not anything that I don't think I miss it.
Yeah, that's so great because it really does alter your hormones. And then, you know, you could have it as a treat once in a while, but, you know, for every day, it's until your body is exactly where you want it to be. You don't want to mess around too much with that.
Yeah, and I don't want to get stuck on it again and get dependent upon that drink because I like to drink. I like to have something to drink all the time. Like I always have water. Or before I would have tea or water, and I had been on a bad, I had been off and on Coke, some sodas for years trying to get off, and I would go, you know, a year without drinking them, and then I would get back to drinking some of them. And so I just don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, so I'm going to stay away for a while until I feel that I am able to handle that.
Yeah, well, you can't ever go back to sodas because they're so bad for you.
They're so bad for you.
Bad. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There's not anything that helps. It just takes so many nutrients to actually metabolize them that it just robs your body of those precious nutrients. Well, you've certainly gone through a lot and discovered a lot. And I just want to remind everyone, you know, please, you know, post your questions, post any comments. Angie posted that she also had the same rash on her hairline that you had.
Oh, wow.
Is that gone now?
Yes, it is. But I also have another symptom that came up about 4 years ago, probably, and it was in my ear. Or one of the symptoms was my ears were very waxy. I just felt like they were very moist all the time. I was constantly cleaning my ears. And in the folds, you know, above your eardrum or the opening in your ear and the little folds up there, on one side I developed a flaky rash or something in there. I don't know. And so it was like real flaky. So if you put your finger in there, it was just stuff would come out, like flaked off skin. So I tried to treat that by myself for like a year with hydrogen peroxide and different things. So I finally went to the doctor, and they said that the doctor said that she thinks it was psoriasis in my ear. And but she didn't say for sure, like, it's definitely psoriasis, but she said, I think it is. We're going to give you this extra cortisone cream. So I started applying that, and it helped, but it doesn't go away. But now, since the last 3 months, it's improved greatly. It's not completely gone, but my ears aren't near as waxy. And the rash around my head, I take that liquid iodine stuff, so I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. So.
That's awesome. And, you know, just goes to show you that, you know, what's going on the inside manifests itself on the outside. So you're cleaning up your gut. You're helping your body detoxify so much better. You know, you've stopped pushing your adrenal glands so hard. You know, which really raises cortisol and insulin. So you really made so many amazing changes that have really supported your body in a super powerful way. And who would equate like hormone imbalance issues with, you know, wax in your ears or, you know, flaky skin on your ears or, you know, you just wouldn't. But it's all sorts of things like that. Like I had arthritic symptoms in my hands. I was thinking there was another really weird symptom that I had. I can't remember what it is right now, but like, you know, all these things started going away as soon as I, you know, sort of figured out what I needed to do to take care of myself. So pretty interesting. Okay, so Amanda said flavored water is love. I'm not sure what she means by that, but but you can do like, you know, hint water. Have you ever tried hint water?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty tasty, and you Yeah, you can order it on Amazon in case you don't have it in your local market, but they make it in just plain water and then also carbonated. And it's basically just water with a hint of fruit of some kind. And you can also just take your sparkling water, you know, and add some berries or, you know, slices of orange and lemon for a citrusy blend. And it really does give you a hint of, you know, whatever it is you put in the water, you know, cucumber, lemon, all of that tastes so good. But hint water is done for you. So if you want a little treat, you can do that.
All right. Thank you.
And Lindsay said, amazing about the caffeine and the soda. I'm so glad I joined in today's, and today, so nice to hear your story. That's so great.
Thank you.
And Amanda said, putting soda away was the best thing I ever did.
Yes. It was one of the things I knew it was for me, and I would go off of it and then go on it because I liked the drink. I liked the fizzy, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, no. And we can, well, we can always do other fizzy. You know, it doesn't have to be the bad fizzy. We can do the sparkling mineral water and then do fun things to it.
And who knows, you know, I grew up on soda. Soda was not limited for me, so who knows what kind of effects that had on my health.
Yeah, and for you skinny people, it's hard because, you know, you can eat anything, and so you don't really connect the dots, like what you're eating is affecting you, whereas if you, you know, do have more sensitive weight issues, then you definitely connect the dots a lot sooner. So, well, sometimes, not always.
Yes, I agree on that.
Yeah, but you didn't have to start or didn't start starving yourself at such an early age. So many of us, you know, just stopped eating and then over-exercised, and then of course the symptoms just got worse. They didn't get better. And I really liked how you said that, you know, you just started the clean eating, you weren't really exercising that much, and you dropped the weight. So food is number one when it comes to weight loss. What you eat is number one. And so if you think that you're eating clean, you might pass it by the community and just have them comment on it. Like, just post a day's worth of your eating and let us comment on it, you know, in our Empower group, because we can really, like, help you fine-tune it. And that's actually how I lost all my weight. I was, you know, in a very stressful point in my life, and but I was reading a very powerful book by an endocrinologist, and I was sort of following her guidelines, and so I just changed my eating, and by doing that, you know, I lost a lot of weight pretty fast, and I was able to keep it off even though I was very stressed. So it didn't mean I had great energy, but my body definitely released the weight. So before we end today, is there anything else? I just have my, you know, my top three questions that I want to ask you. Do you have, before I get there, do you have any, like, were there feelings that came up for you around all this, or, and did you discover any triggers, like any sorts of food, exercise, toxins, lifestyle habits that made your symptoms worse? Like, what were some of the things that you were noticing during all this time?
Well, what I've noticed some triggers for me in the last few months is to definitely, you know, anything very starchy, stay away from that. Like any, like I had a hamburger one day after being not having one for months. Or probably 2 months, and it had white bread, and I was out, and it wasn't a lot, but that night, my stomach did not like it. It upset my stomach. So I knew what it was. You know, my stomach was not used to that. And and so I think, I mean, that's the major trigger that I've been able to notice. And if I eat something like that, my hands start to swell. And I guess I didn't mention that, but my hands have started to swell in the last couple of years really badly.
Okay.
Where
it was really hard for me to wear my ring, my wedding ring. And so another positive side effect is the swelling is gone down and it's controlled by what I'm eating. And I notice whenever I eat something I'm not supposed to eat, my hands swell.
Okay. So you get some pretty good signals pretty quickly if you've eaten something that doesn't work for you.
Yes. And sometimes I'm like trying to figure it out. You know, I'm like, I don't know why my hands are a little swell. I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is. So it's kind of a investigation into your how your body reacts to food and giving yourself, you know, eating clean and then reintroducing some things and watching how it affects your body and how your body feels. And I mean, because your body will tell you if it doesn't like it, whether it's through a stomach. And I never really had stomach aches or anything like that before. You know, I've been, like I said earlier, my body doesn't really hurt or anything like that, and it never really has. So, but since I've been on a clean eating, and if I eat something I'm not supposed to, my body will tell me. I've noticed that, so I pay attention. And I've had a lot less headaches as well.
So you had headaches too.
Yeah, I did have some headache. I mean, I wouldn't say it was like a problem. I wouldn't call it a problem. I mean, you think it's just normal, part of normal life, you know, not anything excessive. But, you know, if you get a headache every week, you may think that's not bad, but because that's what you're used to. But now I rarely get a headache. I got a headache the other day. I hit my head on something outside, so I think it gave me a headache. But besides that, I just took a couple of aspirin for that. But my headaches have really decreased majorly. So
and that's something to really take note of, is that, you know, what we experience may not be necessary. And so when our health gets to a certain point, you know, our health slowly declines, and that may start when you're a teenager, that may start when you're a little bit older, but whenever it is for you, you know, it slowly declines. So a lot of times we don't know how bad we really feel. And like Misty's talking about, you know, she forgot about all these things that really kind of plagued her, right? Just now they're sort of coming up, but you don't have to ever experience any of these things. They are symptoms that our body is not happy. And I always say, you know, that our body is, you know, it's very communicative. So it starts by whispering to us, you know, with just little things, you know, like maybe you get a little headache, or, you know, maybe you start sneezing, or, you know, maybe you just are a little tired one day, and then, you know, your body's talking to you. And, you know, if you don't listen, then, you know, a few weeks down the road or a few months down the road, you know, now your headaches are full blown. Now, you know, maybe you have more like chronic fatigue. You're just tired all the time. Maybe it's moving into depression a little bit. You know, maybe your hands are swollen all the time instead of just some of the time. And maybe, you know, the few hairs that are growing on your chin are now, you know, a lot of hairs that are growing on your chin. And it happens so gradually that it's hard for us to, like, remember when we felt a lot better. And we don't realize that we're not feeling well now. And that's sort of the trap that we get into, is that we don't realize how bad we're feeling, and we don't realize how badly we need to get out of that state. And then, you know, we lose our motivation, we lose it because we don't have energy. And so then it gets harder and harder and harder to get out of that state. But if you look at any chronic disease or any chronic illness, you know, it just hangs on until you listen. So our body starts whispering, and then it starts talking a little louder, and pretty soon it's screaming at us, and then, you know, we become deaf. You know, we're just not listening. We become unaware, or we just have this huge lack of awareness around our whole being. So I think it's great to listen to these stories like Misty's, so that you can sort of see how, you know, things can sort of spiral and go downhill pretty fast. And, you know, this happens and that happens and we don't think they're connected, but as, you know, Missy discovered, they're all connected, you know, skin conditions and, you know, irregular menstrual cycles and headaches, they seem so random and disconnected, but they're all connected, right? It's all one body. That's why the word holistic came into being, is because everything is connected to everything else. So you can't just go to, you know, the ear, nose, and throat doctor without looking at, you know, talking to the gastroenterologist or, you know, the gynecologist, because it's all connected. You know, everything is connected. So it's too bad that, you know, medicine got so specialized, because it makes absolutely no sense. So give us, okay, before I ask you this question, I have to tell you that Crystal said we can also flavor sparkling water with essential oils that are supplement grade. And she's just right. And it's kind of cool to do that, because you can have all sorts of fun flavored waters. I actually carry an essential oil in my purse that is the citrus blend, the doTERRA one. And I can't remember who I bought it through. I'm not a representative or anything, but I use that, you know, if I feel like I might be coming down with something, or if I'm on a plane and just want to make sure I don't get something, or I just want a little very pungent citrusy flavor. So yeah, you can do all sorts of things. So thanks, Crystal, for posting. Okay, your final question. So we want you to give us your top three tips for women that they can, you know, implement right now to start to feel better. Your top three tips.
I would say number one is that you have to take charge of your own health. And I just had to make a decision that I was going to do it. And I think a lot of my problem was, you know, you look around and see people who are eating this or eating that, and things that aren't good, and it's not really affecting them in a bad way, but you think you should be able to, you know, do that too. And maybe you don't have support at home, or whatever the case may be. I just had to make a decision that I was going to eat differently, and I was going to do this, and I didn't care what other people were doing or eating. I was just going to have to do this for myself, and I was the only one who could do it for myself. So I think that's probably the number one tip, which a lot of people listening today probably have already made that decision. Another thing that led me in my journey is just to really get in tune with yourself. I found that there were some emotional things that I had to deal with that I didn't even realize were bothering me from like childhood. Like, I didn't even realize it was affecting me. But anything that you're holding on to from the past, unforgiveness, you know, rejection, any hurts that you may be holding on to, resentment toward others or situations, I would say do, you know, go through the process to forgive and get free, because when you forgive, you go free. And I just had to get real honest and say, oh, this is what happened, you know, this is what my past was like, and, you know, these are people who are involved, and I forgive these people, and I'm moving on, and it's not going to affect me emotionally anymore. And I think there's a connection between your, you know, what's happening inside you emotionally and what happens physically. So I think that helped a lot. And another thing, this is kind of something funny I do. I retrain my brain to try to tell it what's healthy or not. So when you're watching TV or a commercial comes on and you see that big, you know, pizza or whatever food that they're trying to sell you, and I just say out loud, that is not healthy and that is not good for me. And it's not good. That's disgusting, because it isn't good for us. Most of the time you don't see a lot of healthy food on the TV or, you know, at restaurants. And anyway, so that's what I do, is I say that's not good for me. Or if I see, or while I'm eating good food for me, I say, this is really good for me. This is really nourishing my body. So just trying to retrain my brain to, you know, what's really healthy and what's not.
Wow, those are three awesome tips.
Don't ever give up. Keep going. Keep trying new things to help you.
Yes, I love that. So we get four from you. So don't ever give up. That's right. Don't ever give up. You said some super powerful things. So of course, that's what we say is, you know, empowering women to take charge of their PCOS so we can help them transform their lives. You've got to take charge of your health. So that's number one that Misty gave us. And number two is get in tune with yourself. Anything that you're holding onto from the past, when you forgive, you go free. That's so beautiful. And number three, retrain your brain. I love that because thoughts become things. And we don't really understand that well enough. So if there's a thought in your head that you know is bad, you've got to turn it around to something good, even though it may be super, super hard at the time. But I like how you say out loud, that's disgusting, that's not good for me, when you're looking at a pizza. And you know, and when you're looking at your beautiful plate of food that you just put together, just being so grateful for the nourishment and all the, you know, amazing nutrients and the life and the food that's going to give you more life. I mean, all those things are so powerful. And the number four, don't ever give up. And I love the bumper sticker. I saw this bumper sticker one time that just always stuck with me. It was, don't believe everything you think.
Yeah.
And it's so true. So if you can't believe it, then turn it around and make it something that you can believe, because our minds come up with some pretty nasty stuff.
Yes.
So Missy, it's been so, so great having you today. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. We're just really so grateful.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Gosh, and I know that there were so many great takeaways, and we certainly don't feel alone on this journey. We know that there are so many women who have gone through just what we've gone through, and we know that it's possible to heal all these weird things that we have going on. No matter how strange they are, we can heal them. So, Angie, we would love to hear who our winner is. Who gets our a month membership to our VIP Inner Circle. Who is that for today?
Okay, and the winner is Amanda.
Yay!
Congratulations, Amanda.
Yay, so you'll need to get in touch with Angie either on the chat or you can send an email to support@insolitehealth.com. And just connect with her, and we will get you all signed up for our one-month membership. We're so excited. Congratulations. All right. Well, it's been wonderful being with you all here today, and you can listen to the replays on our Inspiration Hour page. It's just pcos.com/inspirationhour. I encourage you to do that, especially if you're, you know, trying to figure out next steps. The ladies who have shared just have so much wonderful insights. It's incredible. So there's just a wealth of information, and so it's just a great place to start. So thank you again, everyone, for being here, and we'll see you again same time, same place. Let's see. So this is the third Tuesday of every month at 3 p.m. 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. All right. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on the Insolite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour. Mark your calendar now for Inspiration Hour next month. Don't miss it.